Well, episode one of our 10 question sit down was so much fun with Cal Clutterbuck. It was so great to get to know Cal on a deeper level. And if you guys tuned in to episode one, you know that episode two now features the new Islanders general manager and executive vice president, Matthew Darche. Matthew, thanks so much for taking some time to join us here. I'm going to put you on the spot with most of these, but 10 questions for you. The first one, going back to your playing career, which featured about 550 American Hockey League games, about 250 in the National Hockey League. When you look back at your career, can you pick out the game that you felt like you were at your all-time best?
I mean, offensively, obviously, it's mostly AHL games. But if I say the NHL, because it's at a team level too, is probably game two against Boston. The Boston-Montreal rivalry was insane. And those few years, we had a few regular season game where it became a gong show of a game, and I scored in game two. We left Boston up 2-0 in the series. Unfortunately, we lost the first round in seven, double overtime, and three of the four games they won were in overtime, and they went on to win the cup. But I just felt like I kind of had a, it was the first time in the playoffs in the NHL, I felt I really had a role. So I would say that game. I mean, obviously, offensively, as far as getting, you know, the three goals and three goals, two assists, it was obviously in the AHL, but I would say that NHL game is, and it's in the playoffs. It was in Boston, but it's me playing for my hometown team and big rivalry, which was great.
When you think back on your playing career, was there a player that you thought was very underrated back when you played? Like, who was the most underrated player in the league at that point?
Well, one underrated that ended up being highly rated after his rookie year when I was in Worcester is Joe Pavelski. He was a seventh round pick that came in and not an elite skater. And I get sent down from San Jose, and I'm like, I'm going to play with that Joe Pavelski, Wisconsin guy, seventh round pick, and we really hit it off. And I guess I can't say he's underrated in the NHL, but like for a guy like, you know, that's why I said the draft is just one way to acquire a player. Like with this guy, like you redo that draft, he's a first round pick, he's USA Hockey Hall of Fame, yeah. But he came in as an underrated, and that's why like I say those guys like. They never took anything for granted, and he came in. And it doesn't matter where you come from; you can always make it if you believe in yourself. So I would, I guess it's not a great answer because he wasn't underrated in the NHL. Actually, one guy I played with that was very underrated was Josh Georges in Montreal. Just a good defending, and he wasn't huge. You know, a lot of times you think defensive defensemen they're big, they're hitting, but Josh just made the right play, would block it. Ton of shots. He blocked one with his head one year in Montreal. Like just a competitor, a warrior. Like I don't like to use the term warrior because, you know, the real warriors aren't playing hockey. But I guess Josh was one of them.
Back when they were playing and when you were playing, if a fan wanted your autograph, whether it be on a practice day or a game day, when was the best time for a fan to approach you?
Well, by then, Montreal is the place I played the most in the NHL, and we came out of the parking lot and they were standing there, and I always stop, especially when it's minus 20 in the winter and they want to wait outside for your autograph. They deserve that you stop and from your warm car coming out from an underground parking at the practice facility, they deserve your autograph. So usually probably I would say after practice.
Were you ever pranked by a teammate?
Was I ever pranked by a teammate? I mean, you got the good old shoe check that, yeah. You know, that you have at a team meal. But, no, I would prank some, you know, nobody ever did the clear tape under my blades that you don't see and you get on the ice and you can't skate. But outside of the shoe check, I think I've been fairly lucky.
Yeah. When you endure a tough night at the rink, back then or even now, what's the best medicine to get over that when you get home?
Just, you know, I was fortunate that throughout my career, I was married. I got married my second year and I had kids, and you just enjoy your loved ones and have discussions and try to get away from it, which is easier said than done. Like if you ask my wife, she'll say that's BS because you didn't get away from it. You know, you'd still be moody and all that. But it's just, and then when you have kids, it's a totally different thing because, you know, like my kids are, let's say, 1 and 3. And when you come home, you could have had a terrible game and be -3 and the coach yelled at you, but they're smiling and you're their heroes. So it's an easy way to get away from it. So
puts it all into perspective for sure. Talking with Matthew Darche here on the 10 questions sit down. Outside of hockey, what athlete do you admire the most?
Well, I think I admire the most. I always admired Tom Brady because of his attention to preparation. Like it's his attention to detail, his studying and all that. Like it's and most of the top athletes, you know, you look at our sport, Sidney Crosby is very similar. Is those guys are great, or Nikita Kucherov, where I came from, they're great, but they'll be very good players, but they're great because of the effort they put in, you know, like you see the documentaries on Tom Brady, and I was fortunate enough when he played in Tampa to be very friendly with their GM and their assistant GM. And, you know, just him coming to the Bucks, their practice standards went up, and his preparation, how he expects everyone. And the reason you look at Tom Brady, sixth-round pick, not very fast, like that, not like an unbelievable athlete running. He was just, he prepared better than everybody else. That's why he had success. So I admire that level of preparation and dedication to his craft.
Here's where things get a little weird, so bear with me. What's one app on your smartphone that you think everybody else needs to know about?
My app on my cell phone.
You have anything unique?
I don't think I have anything unique. But you know, when the kids start driving, you have the Life 360, so you can always see, and then you can see how fast they drive too. Okay. So, but it's funny how my kids are in college and they took the location permission off, so I can't follow them anymore. So, which is normal at the age, yeah. But you know what? It's one app, like as a parent, and you could every now and then just go look at the history. Hey, kid, you're driving a bit fast, you know, because I'm not trying to check where they are all the time. But and rightfully so, now they're in college, they make sure the location permission is off, so we can't see where they are. So, which is fine. They have to live their own experiences.
How about this? You mentioned the word warrior earlier, and you didn't necessarily like to use that word. But for you, when was the last time you got nervous about anything?
Last time I got nervous about anything. I mean, it's playoff hockey. Like and the one that I would say outside. Actually, I'm more nervous in management than I was as a player, because when your game starts as a player, you have something to do with the game. When the game starts as a manager, you're up in the press box, you have zero impact on the game. And I'm sure I'll have some, I don't want to say jitters, but I want us to get off on the right foot and have a good start of the season. So I'm sure Thursday in Pittsburgh, I'll have a little extra juice going through me.
We're looking forward to that. Only a couple of more here. What's a question you get asked a lot that you're kind of tired of answering?
Question I get asked a lot and tired of answering. No, to me, it was, hey, can I get tickets? That's the one that's annoying.
How often do you help?
When I can. It depends how close I'm the person. But the first example I got of that is when I end up playing for the Montreal Canadiens, my hometown, people that you haven't talked to in 15, 20 years, I try to reach out, and I would ignore those. And then sometimes people think you can just hand out tickets how you want, and then you tell them, yeah, I can get you tickets, but here's the price. And, oh, you know, sorry, I can't make the trip, you know. So the people always asking for something, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. We spoke to Cal Clutterbuck in our last 10 questions sit down, and he knew it was you that he was asking the question to at the time. And Cal wants to know, as you finished up your playing career and you knew that retirement was kind of looming, and you thought to yourself, what would I be doing 10 to 12 years down the road post-career? Did you have any idea of what you'd be doing at that point a dozen years later?
Well, listen, even when I was in college, I was always interested in working in pro sports. Because when I played in Canadian college, it's not like if it's a pipeline for the NHL. I ended up being lucky to play for 12 years in the NHL. And throughout my career, you know, maybe through my business degree, I never wanted to coach. I always said I'd love to be a GM one day. And then I retired. I worked 6 years in the business world in Montreal. And then when the opportunity came that Julian became GM, and he asked me to come be his AGM, and even my wife, who had her job, she said, hey, you always wanted that, this is your chance. So I was hoping I'd be in this situation, which is, it's pretty good. It's pretty much 12 years after my retirement. That was my dream, right? To become a GM. And we know there's only 32 jobs. So, and you have to be at the right place at the right time. So it happened, so I've been very fortunate.
I'm going to trouble you for a question now to set up our next guest for the home opener against Washington. Now we're going to sit down with Patrick Waugh. Do you have a question? It doesn't have to be about hockey, but a question for the head coach?
Well, listen, I grew up in Montreal, and Patrick obviously won 4 Stanley Cups, his first 2 at Montreal, and he was known as the fiery competitor. And what fueled his fire during his career? Was it to prove people wrong? Was it to be the best version of himself? But what fueled that fire to want to win all the time? Because you could see it in his eyes. He was demanding on his teammates. So what fueled him?
Awesome. We're going to find out on Saturday night against Washington. Matthew, this was a lot of fun. I really appreciate the insight and getting to know you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.